It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's Unrivaled welcomes you to the Players Club.
Tuesday nights at 7.
Utah defensive lineman Devin Kaufusi joins KSL for an insider look at the Utah Utes football team. Join Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey in the Unrivaled Players Club on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It is the KSL's Unrivaled Players Club brought to you by UCCU. Love where you bank. I'm Alex Keery. He is Scott Mitchell. We're on the road at the Leighton Nielsen's Frozen Custard, and we got a couple things going on. We are asking you to come down. We've got some free cones to hand out to the kids. We also have an opportunity for you to win some BYU and Utah tickets, so you can enter to win right here at the Leighton Nielsen's Frozen Custard. It's just north of the Leighton Parkway exit. So you just get off that thing on Main Street.
Is it BYU and Utah tickets, or is it Utah BYU tickets?
Listen. It's
I'm just asking.
Six of one, half a dozen the other.
Asking for a friend.
That's right. Speaking of friends, of course, the namesake of the program, the Players Club. He's the current player at the University of Utah. He's Devin Kaufusi. Devin, you're like off the practice field like 15 minutes ago, bro. How
yep.
you doing?
Doing great. Just rolled on down the hill. I'm feeling good. Man, I just got to know, like, You guys just been eating Nielsen's the whole time, or what's
no,
up with that?
No, listen.
Come on.
I feel like
you guys got some in your hands right now.
A couple concrete if you want, we can bring some back to
listen,
you.
I thought we'd get in trouble by, you know, your nutritionist and things like that at the U. They come down hard on us and we brought you like a 4-pound concrete.
I'm interior lineman now. I'm throwing it all on me.
You're putting on that weight, man.
Yeah,
listen, I'll absolutely
eating.
Bring you some. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just tough, too, because we're watching our figures here. We're watching our girlish figures. So everybody walks right around. Congrats on the 40-17 win over Weber State. A couple things happened in that game right off the bat. I want to know kind of, one, what was the vibe in the new locker room? And we've been in there. Those massive lockers. You guys have first-class seats, like, from a massive private airplane, each locker. And it's a beautiful place. So what's the vibe in the new locker room? How was it, starting off a new game and a new season in the new locker room?
Oh, fantastic. It's super nice. It feels like I'm in a Death Star or something. Like, it's awesome in there. Coach Witt just made a big deal, like, hey, this is our home. You know, it's been our home. This new locker room and stuff, like, we do not lose here. And so it was really good just to start the season at home with fans and with a win.
So it looked really good. Opening drive, Charlie Brewer, you know, everyone's like, how is he going to respond and react? And goes down the field, of course, T.J. Pledger drops a sure touchdown and settle for the field goal. Then you have, I think, everyone in the stadium, like, their jaws dropped to the floor when the kickoff was returned for a touchdown. And then you have to go in the locker room. So what I want to know, Devin, is what was it like
in the new locker room?
In the new locker room, having to sit there for an hour and a half and face Coach Whittingham after a kickoff return?
Yeah. So, no, all Coach mentioned was, you know, they got one play. And so, you know, still a lot of game to go. So really, it was just, okay, guys, they got one play. Let's go out and let's
settle down.
Settle down.
Let's do it.
Let's stick to our game plan. You know, it just felt like, you know, we really didn't even get a game plan rolling because of that delay.
Well, that's
What do you do for an hour and a half in the locker room, and how do you maintain your focus?
Right,
and
you stay warm.
What do you do?
Yeah,
they brought in the exercise bikes to stay warm. You know, it's tricky to see because. We have 30 minutes after the lightning strike.
Right.
And so the clock would reset if there's another lightning strike. And so every couple, you know, at first it's like, okay, we got 30 minutes on the clock. You know, someone would come in and announce another 30 minutes and kind of be like, oh, geez.
Wow.
Yeah. And then another 30 minutes would be like, okay, oh, just the clock reset. And so, you know, it kind of got to the point where I was like, okay, we're staying warm 30 minutes. And then once it got a little longer, you know, I took off my cleats and stuff, trying to, you know, wind down a bit. And then, but we were able to warm up in there. We got into like some warm up lines inside the locker room. And then we were able to come outside and get warmed up again.
Did anyone like go and to a Zoom class? And, or did you guys?
You saw that for the Central
Florida quarterback.
I saw that
on the news about, yeah.
Did you think to yourself, this person is insane? Because I barely want to attend my Zoom classes during the regular part of the day, let alone during a rain delay. Jeez.
Yeah, I was like, that's a student athlete for sure. Emphasis on the student. But, you know, it was crazy. I didn't know, you know, what the weather was like out there, because inside the locker room, you know, it's really nice, and we're just, you know, we're kind of in there. It wasn't until later I found out, you know, after the game over the weekend, like, it was coming down out there for a long time, and seeing fans just, like, huddled together underneath the stands and everything. But, you know, for us, we're just kind of in there staying warm, eating snacks,
right,
keeping our fuel up, keeping our head right. And so it was a good, well, it was a good time.
It was nice to get a full weekend of college football in, and it seemed like you had weather delays. We seem to have weather delays kind of across that first couple of weekends of college football, because, you know, it's that time of the year, kind of the end of summer thunderstorms in a lot of these places in the country. We've seen some of those happen quite a bit. But as it goes, though, the 40 points you guys scored, and then you guys on defense, you know, I think that everybody has kind of a thought of, well, we'd love to pitch a shutout. Well, we'd love to not give up a touchdown. I think in a game like that, though, too, like, what was it? What is it that you set for expectations of your defense? And did you look at it and go, okay, there are definitely some things we can work on with Weber State? And if you did, what were those things that you guys are trying to work on now?
You know, it all comes back to our culture as a defense, and that being, you know, relentless, smart, nasty ball hawks. And, you know, as a defensive unit, we go into depth about goals and what needs to show up through practice that will show up in games. You know, one of those big things is takeaways. You know, Utah having a big history in takeaways, takeaways for touchdowns, so to say. And of course, every defense wants to, you know, keep that zero up on the board. As a defense, you know, we play great against run. And so we just really wanted to, and especially as a defensive lineman myself, it's all about stopping the run. And so just keeping those main things, you know, the main things, and focusing on that, and just playing and having fun. As you know, guys, there's guys that haven't played in games or haven't had much playing time. You know, when it comes down to it, it's just go out and play. You know, no need to overthink about stuff or overload your mind or
right,
worry about changing up a technique here and there and stuff. Just trust yourself and play. And so it was a great first game in that sense.
How do you guys respond to the offense? Like, you know, there, and I want to go back to Charlie Brewer, because he looked really sharp. He looked really comfortable. He feels like he's a leader on the team. He's a guy that's had a great history, can win football games. I mean, he can throw the football very well. And did you guys pay attention to that on defense? Does that get you excited? How do you feel about your offense and the potential of what it could be?
Oh, for sure. As a defense, you know, we love an offense that's just confident and stays in control. And Utah's offense, you know, our guys do a great job with the run game. That's always nice, you know, giving us breathers and stuff. We able to
right,
run the ball and convert, and then being able to throw on those third down conversions that's needed. It just gives us confidence. So when the offense is rolling, just it just juices us up as a defense on the sideline to get back out there and to get the ball back to them.
So when you're looking at, and you know, I think that a lot of folks look and they look to see what Utah does on defense. It's one of those things. I think a lot of other schools, they would just kind of be like, well, how much did we win by? You know, and they kind of move on. But I think with Utah, that culture, like you were saying, is kind of a defense first mentality. I know Scott hates that. He's like, wishes it would change. You know?
No. I don't hate it.
I
don't hate defense. I love playing for
love
a great defense.
It's about putting up those points too. So, you know, it was nice to see Charlie Brewer after the game go, hey man, we left three touchdowns, maybe two or three touchdowns out there on the field. Like, we could do a lot better.
Yep.
Which is what fans want to hear too on the defensive side of things. You know, we saw that Devin Lloyd is the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Week. I think he's probably going to garner a few of those throughout the season. And so
he will for sure.
This Utah team does not lack for getting attention. And in a weekend where you had a couple of giant upsets, at least on the north side of things of the Pac-12, the South stayed pretty dang strong. Do you look at that and go, hey, Washington loses to a FCS opponent, and the door opens maybe a little bit wider for that opportunity for you guys to look and say, where do we stack up against these other Pac-12 teams? So where do you guys feel like you stack up against these other Pac-12 teams?
When it comes to stacking up, you know, we've said it, and I've had the same vibe and feeling and expectation through the offseason stuff is this is our year. We've got all the right components, all the right pieces. Everyone bought in. The right schedule. It's just kind of like all the stars have aligned for us to really make it big and to make it, you know, the year of the Utah Utes.
We're going to take our first break. It is the Players Club. KSL's Unrivaled, the Players Club. We are hanging out here. Our Tour de France started up today. Tour de France, of course, our partnership with General RV. Scott pulled the RV up right here. You guys can walk through if you'd like, take a look, see what it's all about. We've got kitty cone coupons to give away and maybe even some single scoop coupons here at the Leighton Nielsen's Frozen Custard. Devin Cafusi, our guest, as always, every week right here on the Players Club. We are so glad to have him on the program. And when we return, we've got more to ask. So when we jump in here, let's get to the rivalry game. We got to enough of the – we had to get through the Weber State stuff. We were chomping at the bit to get to these Utah questions. And former BYU, current Utah Ute player Devin Cafusi. We'll come right back. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
The Unrivaled Players Club with Scott Mitchell, Alex Carey, and Utah's Devin Cafusi.
Hey, folks, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled Players Club brought to you by UCCU. Love where you bank. Of course, we have Devin Cafusi with us tonight. Devin, I got to ask you because I'll tell you, I used to love that moment right when you would go on the field and the goosebumps and all that stuff. And they have, a new tradition at the renovation of Rice-Eccles Stadium in the Ken Garf Red Zone. How cool is that when you guys come out of that tunnel? They got the smoke and they got all the fans there.
Wait, what's the new tradition? What is it?
Well, it's the new entrance.
Oh, okay.
So fans get to line on both sides of the players as they come out of the tunnel.
Well, so was that pretty cool, Devin?
Well, they went through the bouncy house before. That's what I call
it. That's right.
Yeah.
So now it's set up. You guys are all grown up now going through the cool stuff.
Yep. No, yeah, it was really cool. You know, we come out of the locker room and then we come down the big corridor and, yeah, seeing the fans right there lined up. And then we come through the smoke, and then it's all the fans there, the band's there. It's awesome. Just coming right down the middle of Rice-Eccles. And so
we were, watching the whole thing. It was a bummer because we knew there was going to be a bunch of people this game, and then all the people who are almost to the stadium for a 5:30 kickoff, they're told that it's, they're not letting people in at that moment. There were definitely some people who were like, I'm just going to go straight home. I knew a couple of people. Yeah, it wasn't really as fun without the packed house that we were kind of expecting on that first night. But Wazoo coming into town in a couple of weeks, you have that same opportunity again. Do you notice a difference in the stadium of like the setup and the sound and everything?
Yeah, for sure. You know, that north end zone is still rocking.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Yes, that was Devin. That was a test. That was your first trial. As
I was going to say, you guys spilled some ice cream or something all over the wires.
No, we were hoping you were just going to take over the rest of the show. just get over that. All right, so the Players Club, Devin Cafusi joining us. I don't even know where I was. I don't even care. Let's get right to BYU and Utah. And let's talk about, a very unique situation, obviously, where you used to play at BYU, the family history that's at BYU. Your mom is the mayor of Provo. I love how I'm telling you that like you don't know that. That's for other people. So let's talk a little bit about where to start with there. Like, what do your teammates know about BYU, and what do they get wrong? Like, what do people – like, did people come up to you and go, hey, man, what's it like down there? What do they do? How do they do it down there?
Yeah, exactly that. Just kind of that question is, when you were on the other side preparing for us, what was kind of the vibe? Was there something changed in the week and everything? As well as just kind of like, going over a scouting report. They're like, turn to me and be like, anything else we need to know about these guys? I've been able to put everything in there, but the film shows a lot, and film from last year and years past, even film from, this game, specifically from past years and stuff, we've been able to, you know, pick up and scout through that.
So this is your second rivalry game, and last time you were a Cougar, and now you're a Ute. How is it different to you? What's different about it? Is there anything weird?
Yeah, other than being in red on the other side, for sure. You know, last year, you know, we were expecting, you know, BYU to come down to Rice-Eccles and play us. That didn't happen due to COVID. Now, you know, we're heading down there, and I think that's just going to be super, super weird. You know, I'm able to visualize it and kind of put myself through it, but it'd be weird staying at the hotel across where I've stayed at.
Right.
You know, pulling up in red buses, but getting off at the visitor side, getting dressed in the visitor locker room, going out, through the opposite side and warming up on the other side, and then standing on the other sideline. I was joking around, you know, some of my buddies down south, saying, you know, hey, maybe I should just like run off to the, you know, out of habit, I might run off to the other sideline and stuff.
That would actually be, you should try to hide on the other side.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The 167 guy in all red on standing on the sideline looking in the huddle, see what's going on.
Yeah, you just come off the field one time and just go off to the, just stand there and see what happens.
Put your arm around Kalani, no problem. I was just wondering about this one in particular. Does your mom want you to win?
Oh, for sure.
She wants a Utah victory? Yep. The mayor of Provo wants Utah to win this game. Is that what I mean?
Well, yeah, just funny. It's a Sunday. I was down there, and she said, President Worthen has asked us to watch the game with them, you know, up in the box. And I said, you better be wearing red then, all up there with everyone.
That's amazing.
And even the coaches, you know, knowing my dad, my defensive coach, was saying, oh, can't wait to see your dad in red.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And so that would be hilarious
to see Steve Cafusi with the red gear on.
But,
yeah.
I mean, it's your parents. You know, yeah. they support you. I mean, and I'm sure you had conversations when you decided to transfer and go to Utah, and I'm sure they supported you. And I would think they would do that as well. I mean, I grew up a BYU fan, and I have a lot of family, you know, and relatives who they learned to love red, and it worked out great. So.
Well, and I think that part of that – well, on top of it, does your dad give you advice? I mean, does he talk to you about – I know he's kind of the stoic of the group, but, like, does he weigh in on this kind of thing and say, hey, this is different. You know, nobody in our family's had to do this kind of situation into the rivalry game.
Not really. He likes talking about – you know, he'll say, hey, I was watching the game and – realize you're high on this play. Make sure, you know, put your hands here, step here.
Kind of
do this technique. You know, he's a big technician. You hit it right on the dot, being like a stoic old wizard of defensive line.
Football wizard.
Yep. Yeah. So.
Well, I love that. I mean, but what about – well, now here's the other wrinkle on it. How do your brothers react to this? I mean, you're playing for the other side now. Those are two guys who never beat Utah in their careers.
Yeah. Never. They never did.
Pretty difficult.
You know – my brothers are my heroes and super close. We got a special bond, you know, all brothers do. And so they're super excited for me. Of course, BYU was really good to them. And so, yes, you know, they love BYU. BYU's been good to them, been good to me. But they're excited to see, you know, it's just exciting to have not me, the little brother.
Right.
Overall, it sounds like
maybe like mom and dad are like, for sure, we're cheering on our boy, man. Like, we're going to make this thing happen. Mm-hmm. But then your brothers might be a little bit more torn. It sounds like
No. They're super excited for me. And so,
I'm glad. But see, there's that part of me, too, that wishes that hopes that they send you like a text in the middle of the night before the game day to wake you up. You know, those little things that I hope that maybe some gamesmanship that might work out with that. I love hearing that, though, that you guys talk about it, joke about it, and they in the end they go, gosh dang it, Devin, we want you to have a great game. Mm-hmm. Every parent would do it. People always go, oh, man, wouldn't you hate it if your kid went to the U? I go, are you kidding me? I'd be the first one there with all the red gear on if my kid had a scholarship to play athletics at Utah. My heavens, I'd be the first one there.
How much does Coach Whittingham play into this? Because, you know, out in public, he acts like, hey, this is just the in-state game. Do you guys make a big deal of it? Have you made a big deal of it in your early preparation for the game this week, or is it really business as usual and we're just trying to take this as we would any other game?
Yeah, business as usual, but just straight out front is, you know, we don't lose to these guys. And that's, you know, nothing more said. It's just get it through your head. We don't lose to these guys. And it's right to work, right to prep.
I love it. All right, we're going to get right back. We got more questions. We've got BYU and Utah, of course. Devin Kaufusi, University of Utah defensive lineman, joining us every week right here on the Players Club. It's his club, man. He runs this thing.
It's the club.
So we're gonna come back, and we're gonna try not to eat any ice cream during the break, us. But you can come down to the Leighton Nielsen's Frozen Custard, hang out, get yourself some ice cream, walk through the RV, do an RV tour that we're driving around thanks to General RV with the Tour de Fans. When we come back, I want to know what kind of things that Devin has already seen from BYU film. Some practice already. That stuff shows up on the iPads immediately, and they're studying up on their opponent for this week. So we'll see what he thought about BYU's performance against Arizona and what he thinks that the Utah defense can do against that type of a BYU offense. More to go right here after news, traffic, and weather on KSL News Radio.
KSL's Unrivaled welcomes you to the Players Club.
Tuesday nights at 7.
Utah defensive lineman Devin Kaufusi joins KSL for an insider look at the Utah Utes football team. Join Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey in the Unrivaled Players Club on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. A couple things in the hopper tonight. A lot going on. Yes, it's the Players Club brought to you by UCCU. Love where you bank. Devin Kaufusi, our University of Utah Ute, right here in-house with you as usual. Now, he's at Broadcast House. We're out on the road at the Nielsen's Frozen Custard up here in Leighton, and we're going to be up here till 9 o'clock. So if you want to jump in, even when the Players Club ends at 8 o'clock, we're going to be doing Unrivaled still all the way till 9, and you can come down. We've got free kitty cones for the kids, little coupons to give away for you, got candy, and you can enter to win tickets to the University of Utah and BYU this Saturday at Lavelle Edwards Stadium, thanks to our Tour de Fans partners, the folks at General RV. So, did I get it all in there? Now, we're going to shift gears a little bit here. Devin, are you still hanging in? Today wasn't Bloody Tuesday, right? So that was yesterday, right? So it was an easy day of practice today, wasn't it?
Oh, no. Today's Tuesday.
Oh, today's Tuesday. No, but they didn't do it
day.
This week.
No, we had a good full day of a Tuesday, and so it was full go today.
But it wasn't the full-on Bloody Tuesday.
It was. It was.
Oh, it was. Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. For some reason, I thought you told me it maybe shifted to Monday for this.
Yeah,
week.
Yeah, stuff was thrown off. So they're going back and forth.
Yeah, it's good.
We've been going.
It's
today.
Good. It's good to change things up. Now you got a totally different opponent this week. What's different about BYU? And what did you guys see on film that you went, okay, we know what we got here. What are you getting in BYU this weekend?
You know, just from a defensive standpoint, you know, film and watching them, of course. Jaren Hall, my good friend, athletic kid, competitor, baller. You know, the receivers, skills, athletic. You know, we saw Neil with those two touchdowns. You know, he's an athlete, a threat, being tall and big and very competitive. And then you got, you know, Tyler and Peeney. Run well, and then you got the O-line, you know, you got James holding it down as the veteran in there.
Right.
And, they do a good job, you know, running and stretching, a lot of boot, a lot of sprint out, was what we saw from Arizona. And, you know, they're able to do that with the athletes they have, like Jaren and stuff back there playing Q.
How do you game plan for an athletic quarterback like that? You know, how do you get him uncomfortable? How do you get him, like, throwing when he wants to throw, throwing early? What kind of things you do to kind of get him off his rhythm?
Yeah, you know, like, you know, as a quarterback, as he rolls out and stuff, he kind of takes the line out of the game. You know, a lot of sprint out and stuff or play action. And so from a defensive line perspective, you know, we got to be able to still pursue. You know, we got to be able to trust our guys in coverage, you know, to stay on their coverage, and so that and they trust us that, you know, we're still in pursuit, even though it's play action, and are able to disrupt and, you know, affect throws. You know, we saw that with the interception with Weber State. You know, we saw Hawati, you know, sprinting down the quarterback still. And,
right.
And you know, that play led to interception. You know, some people say, you know, it might have been a tough throw anyways, but, you know, it's just part of the game. You know, you just got to give it your all. You got to, you know, pursue. You got to run a little longer, you know, just – plays are extended when you have a quarterback that extends plays with his legs.
I guess part of it is too. I mean, you want to be able to cover him well enough to where he doesn't have anybody to throw to, but also you know, if that middle of the field's opened up, he'll try to run right on you. And so he had that 40-yard run that seemed like it was easy skating too, because it was like he picked, hey, this is the perfect moment for me. Everybody's covered up, and it wasn't a planned run. And that's not what they do. They said they're not going to have planned runs. Did you notice that? I mean, they even talked about how Arizona threw something totally different at them than they were expecting from that Arizona defense. And so they stayed very vanilla. Do you expect that they'll pull out do they pull out kind of crazy things, or what do you think? How are they going to try to adjust maybe to be different than they were last week against Arizona?
Yeah, I think they'll open up their playbook a lot more, and you know, including the tight ends and you know, that's kind of the main thing I saw.
Yeah, you didn't see a lot of tight ends.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was like maybe one or two throws.
Tight ends are not part of the BYU system anymore.
What are you talking about?
It's a fad. It went out in the 80s. They don't do that stuff anymore. Uh-huh.
Well, I'm sure you watched it and thought, okay, these are some places we can exploit. But, I mean, there were also times where it didn't seem like they could get that running game going at all, and that probably was a boon to you guys too. How is it that you can bottle up a guy like Tyler Algier or Lopini Katoa? Because it's a good 1-2 punch at that running back position.
Yeah, for sure. You know, those guys are awesome. You know, me being former teammates with them and knowing how hard they work and how hard they play. It's just, you know, it's kind of cliche and vanilla, but you know, it's just discipline, sound, defense, and that's something, you know, taught and preached and practiced here at the U, and we got the guys to do it. So, you know, we play our game, play to stop the run, and then we'll go from there as a defense.
When you're doing your preparation for this game and for any game, I'm really kind of curious about how much time do you spend on the guy that you know you're going to go up against? Do you say, hey, look, I've got an assignment on the defense and I focus more on my assignment? Or do you focus on also the guy you're playing? Like you watch him, study him, and you know he has certain tendencies or he has certain things that he does. How much time do you spend on that? And what kind of things do you look for to kind of give yourself an edge?
You know, throughout the week, each day is mapped out and planned and scheduled to routine. So, you know, one day, you know, we go over their third downs, we go over their red zone stuff, we go over their back-to-up situations, their second control downs and everything. And so just throughout the week, we know it'll come up. So it just allows us to focus on the day at hand and just to sharpen our skills and to, you know, really get our mind, our eyes used to, you know, to anticipating what's going to happen. So later on, it comes to the guy that we're able to scout and report. And, you know, it just goes into, hey, this is a returning vet guy. And then just it's really just kind of on to the players to take responsibility of knowing who they're going against. You know, do they have a tell that tells them, you know, that gives us,
right,
you know, a run or a pass or, you know, a certain stance and stuff. And, you know, formation and keys and all that and down and distance.
Do you look for, like, fingertips? Like, if his fingertips
are... He's got the blood out of his fingertips.
You know, he's coming down for the run
faking,
and everything.
He's faking it.
He's leaving and stuff.
But you do look for that stuff.
It does. I mean, it's stuff not in the week and stuff, but, you know, come game time, you know, it's in our heads and we're able to pick up on that. You know, we try to hear, well, what calls are saying at the line of scrimmage, and then we end up seeing, you know, oh, that's their call for, you know, slide left, slide right. And so
I knew it.
It's just part of the game.
Stealing signs, dude. You're stealing signs. You're ruining the game. It's all sorts of cheating going on. I love it. Scott goes, when I was a backup, that's all I did was just stole the signals from the other half of the field.
Any advantages you can get. You
I love
more,
it.
Man,
I love it.
You know,
that's right.
We'll come back. We've got more to go. Our final segment this week, this week's version of the Players Club, Devin Cafusi is going to join us. Some people hate the rivalry. Maybe some of these folks who hate the rivalry need to get back into it and figure it out. Plus, I'm going to ask about some memories of BYU versus Utah growing up in a BYU family, now playing for the University of Utah. Devin Cafusi next on the Players Club. We are live at the Leighton Nielsen's Frozen Custard. Come out and see us. Got some freebies to hand out to you, some free cones for the kids as well. And then you can enter to win BYU-Utah tickets. Come down, put the old name in the hat, and let's give those things out, baby. Let's do it. All part of the Tour de Fans that fired up today, courtesy of General RV. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled. Stay with us.
The Unrivaled Players Club with Scott Mitchell, Alex Carey, and Utah's Devin Cafusi.
Hey, folks, welcome back. KSL's Unrivaled Players Club with Devin Capuzzi, brought to you by UCCU. Love where you bank. Look, we have started Tour de Fans. We are at Nielsen's Frozen Custard here at 378 North Main Street in Layton. That's right. It's Nielsen's Custard in Layton. And folks are showing up. You show up, we're giving away free tickets to the BYU
it's just north,
Utah game.
It's just north of the Layton Parkway exit, just west of I-15. Yeah. So it's easy
right
to find.
Main Street.
And if you've never been, this is one of those places, Scott, that you'll wait through the line. You know, the drive-through line. You go, I don't care that it goes into Main Street.
Yeah.
I don't care that it goes into Main Street. I'm doing it. So
sign
up, grab some tickets, get yourself some. Hey, look. We got some BYU fans, Scott.
BYU fans, we got Utah fans. We got Wesson with us.
Wesson
is our
it's our new friend.
Yeah,
he's our newest
friend. He's our cowboy mascot for the hour.
We're really excited about
Wesson. I want to throw out a scenario.
Yeah.
All right, I want you to hear this, Devin. This is the scenario, okay? A lot of buzz this last week that BYU could potentially go into the Big 12. So now they're part of a Power 5 conference. Imagine this. Imagine that college football playoffs get expanded. Imagine that Utah wins the Pac-12.
Okay.
BYU wins the Big 12.
Oh, stop
and
it.
And they play each other in the playoffs.
You did say pie in the sky scenario. Now, Devin, the first thing is all the answers that all the players always give us is, I just look right in front of me, I don't know. But that's a pretty dang cool thing if BYU gets in the Big 12 and Utah's in the Pac-12 to have two Power 5 conference representatives within 50 miles of each other. That'd be amazing.
I think it would be great, you know, and just, you know, me growing up as a, you know, football guy, fan of football for the state of Utah and stuff, that's just, you know, that'd be huge. It'd be a great thing for the state of football in Utah.
Some people hate the rivalry. Do you know people who hate the rivalry? Did your family ever get to the point where they're like, I can't do this anymore? I know a lot of BYU fans right now that hate the rivalry.
Yeah.
Did it get to that point where it's just like, because I think it was a lot of years during the Bronco era when it was like, this is not just the losing, but it got the vitriol, the meanness seemed to be stepped up. It doesn't seem like the petty, mean thing isn't part of it anymore. I feel like it's gotten to a good place despite the fact that BYU hasn't won in 9 tries.
Yeah, I would say, you know, growing up, this was, as a
fierce.
Kid, it was fierce and stuff. And so, over the years, for sure, I feel like, yeah, I guess it's died down. I think it's just because of the norm of Utah's winning in the past 9 games. And so I can see why people, you know, hate it or just kind of, you know, let it be.
I love the rivalry. I really do. And I was in it when Utah wasn't very good and we hadn't won in 10 years and beat BYU. And it was really exciting. And I hated when all the BYU people talked about it. It's not even a rival anymore. It doesn't matter.
Oh.
You know,
did that when you were playing? BYU people did it?
Where do you think all this stuff?
Good.
Where do you think all this stuff started?
It
was back then. And so,
oh, good. I'm glad
I think the rivalry is really healthy, you know, for Utah. I mean, I'm talking about the state of Utah and football in Utah. I'm interested, though, Devin. Like, what were some of the memories that you had growing up about the rivalry, and maybe even like your first memory of it? Because you've been around it. I mean, your whole life.
My whole life, yeah. First memory, no. As a kid up in Salt Lake, you know, my dad started coaching up at University of Utah, and so we were all red. I was too little to really understand what was going on. I really picked up on it when we moved to Provo. That's kind of where I came conscious and aware of the rivalry.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it was weird for me because it was my close family, friends, and cousins up in Salt Lake that we still were in touch with all the time. It just made me mad. I'm like, these are our friends? We're friends with these guys? I was like, our family? Why? You know, go to family reunions, you know, on my dad's side, and, you know, most of the family's in red, and then there's our family in blue and stuff, and, you know, my BYU hat's getting taken by cousins and stuff,
and
tossed around and stuff. And I was just like, dang, like, I got to do something about this, or, you know, I'm just a kid, but, you know, something's got to be done. And the only thing to be done, you know, is, you know, the rivalry game each year.
My whole thing is too, like I said, I think a lot of people get wrapped up in the streak And Scott, I've never thought that that was important. I never thought that
nine times.
I've never put that much stock into winning. I just love two football teams coming together. I don't even know what the score's been in the last 10 or 12 years. I couldn't tell you. I will say, having been right there in the booth during 54-10, having been in the booth right there when it was 35-0 within the first 7 minutes of the Las Vegas Bowl. Mm-hmm. Fans remember these things for – I mean, that year was amazing because we went, just watch ESPN put these guys together, even though they're not on on each other's schedule this year, because everybody knows that this is an important game. And so I'm really looking forward to this kind of a weekend. I'm looking forward to how you guys are going to prep for this thing. So one thing that I wanted to know, too, was – you personally, like, what do you do to prepare during game week? Like, what gets you into gameplay mode? Is it watching more film, or do you, like, get centered? Do you, like, what's the thing that, like, chills you out to be in the best spot mentally for these games, Devin?
I think for me, and Coach Pua does a great job talking to us, like, for us to show up and be the guys that we want to be on game day, it has to show up in practice. And we understand, you know, the bulk of the practice is in earlier in the week. So you got to start the week off strong. You got to practice how you want to play. And so, we go through our hard practices, and we got to bring it. You know, we got to have our assignments. We got to have their physicality up.
Right.
And, you know, it's tough because, I mean, that's just football. And what we see throughout college football, you know, everyone has the same week to prepare. It's just you know, you're able to see on game day who's prepared. And really it's just that mentality of, you know, I got to be – you know, if I want to be a dominant player on the weekend, I got to be a dominant player right now in this Tuesday practice.
They have a – did you see Trevor Lawrence had to pay up on that Georgia bet?
I did. I think I caught a little video of that. He ended up wearing Georgia gear in the locker room and everything.
He's wearing Georgia gear in his Jacksonville locker room. And they were – I mean, the guys were relentless, which, of course, you should be. But, you know, there's a lot of respect for paying off field.
He's got some pretty hair, too. I mean, I don't know. It's like,
so
wow.
My question is, does your family try to get you wrapped up in the bet stuff and all those? Or do you just say, look, you guys, I'm playing in the game. I don't want to have to get wrapped up in all these bets and paying off a bet and singing the Cougar fight song at family dinner or anything?
Yeah, no, my family doesn't think that. As a kid, you know, I remember my freshman year in high school, I made a bet with one of our assistant coaches. I bet him $20, and then it was the year.
$20?
$20, I know.
Oh.
All my hard work at the grocery store. And so,
yeah, you lost it. You lost it.
And it was the year of the 54-10 game. And,
oh, my God.
So that was a hard $20 to hand over and stuff. But, you know, I just remember
you're lucky
all those
it was
games.
Only $20. That's the thing. It's a game like that. Jeez.
Yeah, man. Only $20. But, yeah, I just remember every – that's what we're talking about today. I just remember going back to my earliest memory of the rivalry and – it was the I think it was Ratliff came and started down at Lavelle Edwards.
Wow, that's a long memory there. You're a young kid now. Yeah. You remember Ratliff. Man.
Yeah, I was young, I just remember because our family friends from Salt Lake, I sat with them, but they were in their Utah gear, and I was so upset. Right. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, Ratliff. And I remember the last play, I think it was overtime, and BYU tried to throw one across the back of the end zone, had a diving catch. I remember... You know, of course, you know, the Beck to Harleen. I remember praying my eyes out. I didn't even see the play as a kid. I was on the second row behind the BYU football team up at Rice Eccles. I just remember closing my eyes and praying, clenching my hands there, being like, God, please let us win this one. And I promise I will go to every church meeting you want me to go to. I remember my brother and I, Corbin, we used to fast for football games.
Oh,
and
my dad
would say, God, boys, you don't fast for football. So, you know, I remember fasting, you know, not just Utah, but TCU, college game day, TCU growing up. You know, I also remember, I was on my mission for that Vegas Bowl.
You did not miss anything.
Devin, you're a tackle now. You can't be fasting ever.
No, I can't be fasting for it.
Listen, the pure heartedness of kids who are like, this is going to work.
Oh, yeah, so pure.
This is going to
work. So pure. This is going to work. I remember like, dad, yeah, like, come on home. Grab his bag from work and be like, yeah, just take a seat, whatever you need, dad, yeah. So
my
the coach
gosh.
Better and everything. So it's the stuff you go through.
Devin Cafusi, you'll be back next week for another edition of the Players Club. Go home and get some rest. We appreciate you being on the program. And we'll be in studio with you next week, buddy. So we'll talk to you then, okay?
Okay, will do. Thank you, guys.
Oh, we love having Devin in. That story got me going. Oh, my heavens. All right, we're going to take the break here. Yes, that was the Players Club brought to you by UCCU. Love where you bank. When we take the break now, news, traffic, and weather, and then just a regular old hour of KSL's Unrivaled. No big deal. NFL Roundup. We've got the two-minute drill. We've got so much fun stuff to do. We're at the Leighton Nielsen Frozen Custard. Just north of the Leighton Parkway exit, just north of it, just west of I-15, easy to find. Enter to win some BYU versus Utah tickets. Come on down, grab some free swag, and go through the RV here, courtesy of the General RV folks and the Tour de Fans. It started up today, so we'll be right back. More to go after news, traffic, and weather on KSL News Radio.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery. Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us. We just did the Players Club. Devin Cafusi, once again, amazing job. If you want to hear any of those things, tell the stories about how he and his brothers used to, he and Corbin specifically used to, used to fast to try to win games.
It's a real thing, though.
I mean,
we talked about, you know, my whole life, and now I'm going to go in the visitors' locker room. I'm going to be wearing a different uniform. I'm going to go into Lavelle Edwards Stadium from a whole different perspective, and that's a real thing. And it is weird. It's weird
right.
when you've grown up with it a certain way, and now all of a sudden you're on. I mean, you're on the other side.
Yep.
It's got to be tough.
Absolutely. So we got a couple things going on here. We're going to get to the 805 cut in here in just a second, and we're going to talk a little bit about that BYU and Arizona game, which we haven't been able to chat about, Scott, yet.
Yes.
Tomorrow,
other stuff too.
Tomorrow, by the way, is the Players Club, the BYU edition of the Players Club. Jaren Hall, the quarterback for BYU, is going to join us. We recorded with him yesterday because of their practice schedules, and normally we're doing the show on Mondays, but it's going to be a Wednesday edition of our normally Monday Players Club, and you'll be able to hear the breakdown from Jaren himself. But let's start things off here in just a wild weekend of college football, and it's the 805 Cut. Let's just jump right in here.
The Cut at 805. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
All right, so first of all, the cut brought to you by Wasatch Medical Clinic. Struggling with ED? Sick of pills? Visit wasatchmedicalclinic.com for a free offer. Scott, first impressions. Right off the bat here, it's stuff that we asked about Jaren, how he thought he did, and that people can hear tomorrow on the Players Club. But what is it? What did you think about his performance? 18 for 28, 198 yards, two touchdowns. No interceptions. I think he took care of the ball well. What was your impression of what you saw in that game versus Arizona on Saturday?
Well, number one, that's most important for BYU is they won. Number two, for Jaren Hall, it felt like he really was comfortable. You know, he felt comfortable in the offense. He felt like he wasn't pressing things. He felt like he was making decisive decisions, whether it was to throw the ball, get rid of the ball, to run. Yeah, and he was very judicious about his running and not trying to do too much, not trying to rely too much on it. I would say all in all, it wasn't like, hey, we're going to go light the world on fire here, but it was a very conservative, very efficient, very productive game. I mean, I think even for BYU in general, but Jaren, what'll be interesting to me is. And this is for both Utah and BYU, is what kind of evolution will happen from last week to this week? Because you're not – these two teams are going to be
– Totally different.
Totally different this
right.
week. You're going to see a lot more. You're going to see a lot of energy. You're going to see – it just comes out in this rivalry.
But people, they hang their hat. They hang their hat. You bring that up, and they go, well, BYU should have won by more. Utah should have beaten. They should have had more touchdowns on Weber State. And I always think to myself – because we have nothing to go on except for that Arizona, win on Saturday. And because they won by 8 points versus the 12 they were supposed to win by, according to Vegas, I think that people freak out a little bit. And that whole thing about, like, oh, well, I'm concerned because it wasn't that big of a win. And I thought, well, I wonder what you thought about
that. It's harder, though, and we talked about this in the show with Devin, it's harder when you don't know an opponent very well. If you've listened to all these coaches and all these players on both of these teams where they say, We know what kind of defense they're going to run. We know what kind of – we're very familiar with this opponent. So you don't necessarily get a lot of surprises about what you're going to see. When you have that first game with a new coaching staff at Arizona, you have no idea. You really don't. And that's hard. It's hard to go into a game and just go, okay, I'm just going to react to this, especially with Jaren Hall being a young quarterback. I know you don't think he's a young quarterback, but he really doesn't have a lot of experience.
Sure.
I mean, he's going to be learning things as he goes along, and that's one of them. You know that.
Did he look comfortable to you? Like
he felt comfortable, but that's what'll be interesting going forward is how does he progress into next week?
Sure.
And are there things that he's even going to see clearer? Because you watch the game film and you go, oh my goodness. That guy was so wide open, or, oh, now I see that player. Now I get a feel for what's happening. And the better feel you have for things, and then you go into the next week, they're just more comfortable and you play looser and you're able to make more plays because in your mind you're just seeing the game so much better. And that just happens week to week. And it happens a massive jump, really, from week one to week two. I know people say that all the time, but it's a really true thing.
Yeah, all we have to go off of is that first game, and then you go, Jaren Hall didn't even throw the ball that much. BYU doesn't throw the ball that much now. And you go, well, it's game one, and it was a little bit weird of a game. And so everything does change from week to week. And so if you were, like, anticipating one thing, here's the other thing with BYU. They're gonna have some crazy plays. I guarantee it.
Of course they are.
Aaron Roderick, somebody goes, yeah, Jeff Grimes used to love to call that. I go, bull. That was Aaron Roderick. Aaron Roderick calls this trickeration. He loves the trick plays. And frankly, they are – I love trick plays if they work, right? I mean, and there have been times in the past that Kalani Sitake, I feel like, is like when you bust out two or three and they get you 17, 19 yards a piece, you kind of go – that's not really what you use the trick plays for when you're just trying to get regular yardage.
You want to change momentum. You want to
– right.
You want to – but here's the flip side of it. When I see a team show trick play after trick play after trick play, what that tells me is they go, we don't really have the confidence that we're going to line up against you.
And just beat you.
And beat you. So a lot of times it's almost a term of endearment. When someone pulls out all the trick plays because they're like, yeah, we you're better than us. We can't beat you. But typically, just so you know, you'll see those trick plays kind of right as a team passes the 50-yard line, and it's one of those where they just want to get a big play, big score, a quick strike, kind of play, and that's typically where these coaches like to see those. So if you're watching the game this weekend, that's a great time to go, you know what? Here comes the trick play. This is it's going to happen. And I wouldn't be surprised if Utah doesn't do it as well.
So the Big 12 expansion rumors, things like that. Over the weekend, it was fever pitch, and I was taking a little bit of a kind of a. It's gotten quiet. It's kind of a little dark, and I think that's fine. I don't think it means anything except for that they're probably just going to keep their mouth shut until, you know, something happens, until something real is able to be announced. I was reading Pat Forty today talking about this very thing, about the expansion and all these that went with it. And he said, here's what BYU brings to the table. Football tradition, renewed football relevance, and a large fan base. 1984 national championship, did not have a losing season between 1974 and 2002. I forget how wild that is.
Yeah.
To think from 74 to 2002, they did not have a losing season. Of course, when I started at BYU, it was 2003. So it was a perfect time for me to show up when they ended that streak.
You know, maybe it was you, Alex.
Knowing the things that you're convincing me on with the superstition stuff, I'm starting to believe it too. So they bring up all this stuff, and Pat Forty basically says, yeah, the Big 12 is expanding, but is it improving? And that's an interesting question. In my mind, they're 10 teams right now. They're going to be 8 without Texas and Oklahoma. If they add 4 teams, they're going to be 12. They're going to be back to a Big 12. So is adding 2 teams on top of, you know, adding 4 teams, you subtract 2 and add 4, BYU, UCF, Houston, and Cincinnati are the reports. Does that improve the Big 12?
Does it improve? Yes.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely. Look,
but at the same time, it's not as strong as a conference, though.
I know, but it doesn't matter. And here's why it doesn't matter. Because 3 of the 4 conferences that are left of the Power Five have said, we want you to exist, Big 12. We want you to exist. We don't want you to go away. And so they've all calmed down. They've all backed off, and they've said, okay, bring it. And if the Big 12 can survive, it doesn't matter what it is right now, if it can survive, then it's going to be in the conversation. It's going to be a part of the playoffs and all of the TV revenue and all of those things. And BYU has a tremendous pedigree. I mean they really do. I mean they've had people win all the awards. They've won national championships. They've been a very successful program. They got a tremendous fan base. Yes, BYU is really, in my estimation, probably the number one team people should really look at as far as football goes, and even other sports. I just think you've got to have a conference. I think these other conferences want the Big 12. It's not going to be as prestigious or powerful or traditional as it was. But it's going to be alive, and it's not going to be the Mountain West. It's not going to be the AAC. I mean, look, the ACC, by the way, Alex, it's not a strong conference. It's Clemson. And everyone else is just like, eh. You know, so the Big 12 can exist.
Not only can it exist, I think that certainly it would be an amazing move. One of the things they talked about, they're like, yeah, but one of the cons is having these conferences that have three time zone differences. You know, you have Florida, Ohio, and I'm missing one of the other ones. I'm just thinking of Florida, Ohio, with Cincinnati. Bottom line was, they were like, there are three teams that are in the Eastern time zone. West Virginia. One of the teams that was already in it. So West Virginia, Cincinnati, and Florida are all teams that are, you know, these are people in a three time zone difference, and they said it's going to be a massive deal. Let's take the break here. When we come back, we've got much more to go here on KSL's Unrivaled. We have Jeremiah Jensen from KSL 5 Television going to join us, going to walk into the studio, and we will chat with him about all things expansion. We haven't gotten his thoughts about the most recent rumors on those things, plus what a Big 12 coach right now has said about BYU, whether or not it's a Power 5 type team. Stick around, more to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled.
Hey, folks, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery.
We're getting a flyover.
Got a flyover going.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's folks flying over Nielsen's Frozen Custard here in Layton. It's 378 North Main Street. It's just north of the Layton Parkway exit. So Torta Fans has started, Alex, and we are here tonight. We are in Farmington
tomorrow night, yes.
And we're all over in Orem. We're in Provo. We're kind of everywhere. We got the military jets out on a night mission.
No, like I said, we're getting the flyover to respect KSL's Unrivaled,
well,
I'm assuming.
Hey, it's a big week for us because the rivalry game is happening on Saturday, and of course it's 9/11.
Yeah,
and
the 20th anniversary.
A lot of exciting things going on.
I do
on.
Think that's true. I just assume that I think people are going to be in the stadium and watching it on TV, and they're going to go, you know what, this game is fun. But I'm glad we're all here. Like, you know, that feeling of unity and everything, I hope is at least present for a little bit during that. So, hey, joining us right now on KSL's Unrivaled, as we are here from Layton Nielsen's Frozen Custard, and he is not at the Nielsen's Frozen Custard here in Layton. He is Jeremiah Jensen. What's going on, JJ?
Why am I not at –
Listen,
there?
Do you want me to bring you something? I mean, you make an order. I'll bring it back.
Yeah,
and you could have a cone in your hand while you do the that could be your mic. We'll put a mic flag on a cone, and then you guys
just came up with a brilliant sponsor for Sports Beat.
Yes.
Every Sunday, me with some frozen custard on a mic flag cone,
right. Yes. Or you call it Sports Beat Sunday, but you spell it like the Sunday.
Oh
right?
No! Here we go. That's a Sports Beat Sunday. Yes.
What am I in the marketing department over
here?
Yeah,
I think you've done this before, Alex. You're pretty good.
We'll do a special delivery with an RV from General RV.
That's right. We have the whole thing figured out.
We'll have
out,
it all so. On dry ice.
Let's bring them all into it. I like.
By
it.
The time it gets back to the station though tonight, you'll have to drink it. So it'll be
it
which
still
I know
good.
You're probably okay with.
I'm fine with that.
So we haven't been able to talk. Saturday was such a massive day. We did our broadcast on Friday, on Saturday, And then, you know, all of those rumors of the Big 12 were really fever pitch Friday, Saturday. And that's been a little bit quiet. What do we know? What's the latest now? Because there's kind of a lot of articles of, all right, here's what your new Big 12 is going to look like. And I'm going, hey, hold on a minute, people. Is it still that feeling of, yes, this invite is happening? These are the four teams who are probably going to go to the Big 12.
Yeah, it's I have a little intel, and I think this is going to happen by the end of the week.
There you go. So
I think something by Friday could happen.
Okay.
I want to throw out a scenario to you. Because if this really is going to happen, I'm so excited about this. I think this can be a big thing for football, for fans.
JJ, doesn't it make our job so much more fun, too? Like,
well, this is the hope that everybody had 10 years ago, right?
Yeah,
you thought,
well,
wow, well, so Utah's going to the Pac-12. Well, it makes sense for BYU
to
go to the
Big 12. Scott came up with a dream scenario.
Let me throw something out at you and just kind of get your thoughts.
Brings a tear to my eye.
All right, you ready for this? BYU goes to the Big 12. Utah's in the Pac-12. Mm-hmm. They expand college football. Utah wins the Pac-12. BYU wins the Big 12, and they end up playing each other in the college football playoffs.
Right. The new 12-teamer.
And it's in Las Vegas.
I think this is every BYU fan's dream right now, right?
Why wouldn't you say a Utah fan's dream, too, to be in the college football playoffs?
Well, I'm told that Utah fans don't care about BYU.
Oh, okay. I'm told. I love how – did you put your finger up to your ear and go, hold on, I'm getting this – yes, no, Utah fans apparently do not care about
BYU. I think that would be a nightmare for Utah fans. We made it to college football playoff. Who are you playing? BYU. No!
In the Las Vegas Bowl.
We can never get rid of them.
In Vegas!
You have to make them play it in Sam Boyd Stadium because there's not enough room because another game's being played across the street at least.
Oh, my gosh.
Let me tell you what hit me a few years back when Utah went to the Pac-12. It was like the Rose Bowl is a reality now.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Now whether they get there, that's a different story. But you're a part of the conversation. You're a part of the dance. You actually have a real opportunity to do that. A couple of years ago, Utah's on. You know, they're right on the verge of actually making the college
one
football
win away
playoffs.
Twice.
Yes, wow. And it's just, you know. So I would imagine that for BYU fans, getting invited to the big dance, so to speak, and being a part of a Power Five conference, could really change the view, the hope, the aspirations of everyone who's a Cougar fan.
Well, you think about it. So you have a Saturday here in Utah where Utah's hosting USC. And BYU is hosting Baylor or Oklahoma State down in Provo. And I think that's the ultimate, you know, I mean, obviously it would be cooler if Texas and Oklahoma were a part of it. But still, I mean, that's big-time college football. And you got two games happening right here in the state where that's happening. Maybe Utah State's playing Boise State, too. Like, think about that, how much fun that can be for everybody involved and what it will do for the sport here in the state of Utah. It'll lift up BYU. BYU is going to have to, just like Utah did when they joined the Pac-12, is their program's going to have to get better. They're going to have to get better in a lot of different ways. But they're also going to have the resources to do that because they're going to be a Power 5.
Do you think that we're speaking with Jeremiah Jensen from KSL5 Television. You can, of course, see him tonight on the TV. And one of the things that we were, you know, we just our minds went crazy. All right, we're back. Can you hear me now? Hey, Jeremiah Jensen from KSL5 Television is still here with us. I don't even know where I was. It doesn't matter. I want to know, Mike Gundy says everybody else on the planet views BYU as a Power 5 team. Is he saying that because he knows that BYU is going to be a likely member and he's just trying to play nice already? Or is that really the way that people mostly feel?
It's both. I think now that they're going to be part of the fold. And then look, I mean, he's talking about BYU basically like they're in, right? So, like, we all get the clues here, right? It's happening. He obviously wants to pump up BYU because now the conference needs to infuse some new blood with Texas and Oklahoma leaving, and so they need to build up BYU. But at the same time, I mean, who doesn't know that why? Who doesn't know that brand? If you watch college football and you watch, you know, there's college football fans out there that are watching from 10 a.m. Mountain Time until midnight. If you're watching late night on ESPN, you've watched BYU. I mean, and you've done it for five decades. So yes, BYU has a brand of football that's known nationally. Has it always been top 25? There's been ups and downs, but it's still a brand that people across the country recognize. It's a college football brand, and that's a great selling point, and always has been a great selling point. And it's why they've been able to survive in independence. And now they have a chance to thrive as a member of the Big 12.
I think it would be fascinating to watch BYU, like when you mentioned earlier about getting the resources of being in a Power 5 conference. And I would love to see, how does that change recruiting? How does BYU still work with the honor code and with some of the challenges they've had in the past in recruiting, and just what kind of athletes can they bring to the program? So I think that will be a fascinating thing,
right,
to see and watch and evolve.
JJ, before we get out, what's on TV tonight, brother?
So we're hitting the rivalry. Latest from the Cougars, latest from the Utes, as they get ramped up to play this game on Saturday. So if you want to hear the latest, we got it tonight on Sports Beat at 10.
Check it out. There's going to be some blue and red with some B-roll on there. You don't want to miss it. JJ, thanks for hanging out, man.
You got it.
Appreciate it. We'll take the break here. When we come back, we've got our NFL roundup. We got our two-minute drill. The Curie family might even make an appearance tonight at the Nielsen's Frozen Custard. That's how big of a deal this is. My family actually knows that I'm here, and they might actually show up.
It's the frozen custard.
I know. That's what's not for me. You're right. All right. We're taking the break. We'll come back. More to go right here at KSL's Unrivaled as we wrap things up.
KSL's Unrivaled. The Unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A pro football stories from your two hosts, a former NFL quarterback and the other guy. It's the Unrivaled NFL Roundup.
All right, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with
us. There are games, like, in a couple of days.
Yes.
Thursday.
Scott, the NFL is starting up
in
a couple of days. So, yes, this Thursday. And it's not just a game. It's Tom Brady versus Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
It's the Cowboys and anybody
Tampa
else.
Tampa Bay's going to kill Dallas.
You think so?
Yes. It's in Tampa.
Yeah, but the thing is, and you've always talked about this, too. You've always been like,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, the Keery clan showed up. Yep. Oh, boy. Well, pack it up. This thing's
here
over.
Here goes the neighborhood.
All right. So, but what I was going to say was, is that Dallas and Tampa Bay, you know how it is. It's not going to be a blowout. It's
yeah,
not going
it
to be a blowout. Why? Scott, everybody's good in the NFL, remember? Isn't that what you taught me?
Yeah,
like,
but,
rule number one.
But there are some that are better.
But Tampa Bay, do you think they're just going to automatically pick up where they left off? Because they were not great during their regular season.
Yeah,
I think
they're going to pick up where they took off. I really do.
Yeah, I've got the baby here.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Got the baby here. All right. So first up on the NFL Roundup, by the way, if you wanted to actually get into some content of the show.
Well,
no, I know it's good. So. Is Zach Wilson going to be able to turn around the Jets franchise? I watched two different interviews today where people were like, yeah, but this kid's different. And the whole thing starts with the Jets are an awful organization. It's a terrible place. And you and I have brought it up before about, yeah, he had a great preseason. Yeah, things look pretty good. I watched this whole interview today about how this pundit was like, yep, I watched all the tape on every throw that every rookie quarterback made in the preseason. And Zach Wilson's by far the most talented, and he's going to have the breakout season. Not Mac Jones, is what he said. I just don't know how you handle getting thrown right into it without any sort of buffer of being able to learn how to be a pro, Scott.
Well, you know who I thought was really good, and he went to the Jets? Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, out
I mean,
of
Mark
USC.
Sanchez was just amazing.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody can sit here today and go, oh, this guy is a can't miss. This guy, it doesn't work that way.
Right.
And I'll tell you, and I bring this example up a lot, but it's so true. Steve Young stays with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's not a Hall of Famer. He's not a Hall of Famer. And so
Brett Favre stays with the Falcons.
He's not a Hall of Famer.
Right.
He's not. Right, I mean, and you can go through. You know, I mean, the Cowboys don't trade Herschel Walker. I mean, they don't have they don't have all those draft picks. They
right.
don't have, you know, they may not have Emmitt Smith. You know, so it's so much of it isn't so much about Zach Wilson. It's so much about who is around him, and maybe after all of these years of being inept, maybe it's that time when it does change. You know, maybe this is. Maybe he's the first part of a puzzle that all of a sudden you find all the pieces and it works. But it's never about Zach Wilson. It's never about just a guy. It's about so much of the organization you're in and where and the people that are around you. And if you get in the right situation, you're going to have more success than if you're not. What's so hard, Alex, is he's in a massive honeymoon right now, and they've done a great job of pubbing and propping him up, but it's going to get ugly.
The first part that goes wrong?
Well, it's going to be it's like and it may not be even in year one, or it may be all of a sudden you just go, wow, this game, he's not ready for all of the things that are going to get thrown at him, because he's going to get a lot of things thrown at him that he hasn't even remotely seen yet. And what I'm worried about is can he hold up physically and not get injured? You know, that's really the thing that I think would concern me the most about Zach Wilson.
Mac Jones, this was a funny article. It says Mac Jones was not surprised that he won the starting job with New England. I was like, I don't know how they exacted that quote out of him or how they got that out of him. So what do you think he sees? Is that just a massive amount of ego and confidence, or is that I got there and he had a little bit of what happened to you, which is like, oh, we're just playing football here. Like, I thought it was going to be some magical transformation into something else. And then he saw Cam Newton and went, oh, this guy doesn't throw great all the time. I could win this job.
Yeah. Well, and what you have is you have a guy that was at Alabama. And, like, it might be a downgrade for him to actually go to the NFL. I mean, he may have had better talent for the 4 or 5 years that he was at Alabama as compared to even the Patriots. And so when you're developed in a system where you're every single day you're throwing to, you're competing against the very best players in the country, you're going to develop at a higher level than anybody. I mean really anybody. So if there was a player that was about as prepared as you could possibly be, playing with great talent, playing in big-time games, national championships, playoffs, and doing well, the NFL would be a cakewalk. I mean, this does not surprise me that he even said this at all. It's like everyone else in college football is playing in, like, maybe double-A or high single-A ball, and Mac Jones was playing at triple-A ball in college, and he was about as primed and ready to make it to the NFL as anybody.
I just think that, you know, it's interesting to see all these rookie quarterbacks, and just that at the end of the year, we're going to have a totally different opinion. We're going to go, boy, how terrible was fill in the blank? How bad was this guy? How on earth did we miss it on this guy?
Historically, that's the way it is.
Of course.
You're just going to have that. And I know New York scares the dickens out of me just because it's so fickle. They will turn on you in a New York minute. They will, and it's not a pleasant thing when things change. And everyone's hopeful right now. Everyone's like, man, you know, oh, we get, you know, and that's kind of the fun thing with the NFL. And then all of a sudden, reality steps in, and it's a different deal.
The next thing that I saw here was the Denver Broncos quarterbacks. You remember when they got busted?
Yep.
Playing with the or they were messing with the COVID protocols. The NFL went in, and it was, and they were able to find out that indeed they were. They went in, watched their facility footage, and went back and watched. And these guys, and it was worse than they thought. They were way messing around. They weren't taking any of it seriously. And that's when Kendall Hinton had to play quarterback, a guy who hadn't played quarterback since high school. Think about what a – I'm telling you right now, too, there are going to be some guys who are going to try to float the rules. They're going to just be like, nah, I'm good. And the COVID protocols for guys who are unvaccinated in the league, they're, like, super strict. And the NFL is going to fine huge amounts of money like they did last year. But they're also going to make guys sit out, and they're threatening, like, hey, first-time offense for this COVID thing. And the Players Association doesn't really have much say in it because it's like, hey, no, these are, like, temporary emergency stop so that we can still play football.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that this has happened, and it doesn't surprise me. And there's a culture, and it's not like a baseball culture, Alex, where it's like blatant cheating, but it's like, where can I find an edge? Where do I find an edge to get over on my competition a little bit? And if they're trying to, you know, kind of game the system or whatever in the COVID protocols and all that stuff, then people are gonna get away with it. I don't know they'll get away with it, but they'll try it. the one thing that, that is so prevalent in our society today, there's a camera everywhere. I don't care. I don't care where you are. I mean, and you may be in the privacy of your home, and there's a, I'll save things in a conversation. All of a sudden it shows up on my phone or on my computer. And it's like, I just had that thought. I didn't even necessarily say it. And now it like knows. And so, you can't get away with anything.
You know what I'm sad for, though, is that Hinton actually, when he went in and started, it doesn't actually show up as an official start. You can't even say I started officially in an NFL game. I don't know why they said that it did, but it was for some reason they didn't. He was 1 of 9 for 13 yards in that game, Scott. 2 interceptions. So, 1 completion.
Oh, he's good at throwing interceptions.
2 interceptions.
He's good at something.
We'll take the break. We have our 2-minute drill next. We're coming to you live. Our final segment next. Right here from the Leighton Nielsen's Frozen Custard. The Tour de Fans has begun with General RV. Yes, all this week we're going to be other places. Come hang out with us. Tonight, wrapping the show up next at the Nielsen's Frozen Custard in Leighton.
Hey, folks, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. We are here in Leighton at Nielsen's Frozen Custard, just north of the Leighton Parkway exit off of I-15 on Main Street, 378 North, to be exact. Tour de Fans has started. We're all over the place this week.
It's not to be confused with the Tour de France, which came later, by the way.
We started a long time ago. We're gonna do this all week long.
All week long.
And every Wednesday.
For the rest of the football season.
And we got some amazing things coming up.
And if you thought to yourself, are you just giving away BYU tickets? Are you giving away just Utah tickets?
No.
Yes, this week it's BYU in Utah. Sure. Yeah. But you know what? We are going to have tickets all throughout the season. And it's not just football, baby. It's going to be everything. So
I know.
You're going to want to stay tuned all year long. We're going to be on the road every Wednesday with our RV in tow. Or I guess we're in tow of the RV. But, you know, you get what I'm saying. The 2-minute drill. Scott, the end of the program. What do we usually do in the 2-minute drill? What's the purpose of this music?
I'll tell you. Late in the football game, you got to hurry down the field, kick a field goal, score a touchdown. Don't have a lot of time, so you hurry. Our show's the same way. We still have a lot to talk about, but not a lot of time, so we talk a little bit about a lot of things. We hurry up, finish the show, go home happy with a trophy because everyone gets a trophy and probably frozen custard, I guess, from Nielsen's.
Get a concrete.
Get yourself a concrete. 2 COVID shots and a concrete.
There you go.
Yeah.
Boy, you know what I like is the fruit ones. I'm like a big bumble, like the raspberry strawberry.
Yeah, see, I think you're weird.
What?
You don't get a concrete fruit thing. You get like you get Reese's peanut butter cups cookie dough
fresh fruit in there is amazing.
Let's get some like
I can't stand you guys.
Some like maraschino cherries.
Is Dallin dissenting too?
Yeah,
this is bad.
And like. You know, the peach cups you get.
Oh, boo. No, this is legit. They put that.
Fruit cup.
Oh. Well, you know what? Fine. Call me fruit cup the rest of the week, I guess. That's the flavor of concrete
I prefer. Cup.
Hey, fruit cup. So, 2-minute drill. First things first here, Scott. I wanted to get to. Do you remember Bishop Sycamore?
They're still
around. My favorite college football game day poster from over the weekend was Kirby Smart is a Bishop Sycamore alum. That was the best game day sign that I saw talking trash on Georgia's head coach. And, of course, they got the best of Clemson. But the Bishop Sycamore signs were definitely up. It was like Kirby Smart wears his mask in his car by himself. You know, all these kinds of – but Bishop Sycamore found its way back into the news
Carol
again.
Carol Baskin was the principal Bishop Sycamore.
At Bishop Sycamore. So Bishop Sycamore has become the weirdest meme over the last like couple of weeks. But Bishop Sycamore, the high school that – was not actually a high school.
So weird.
Is a football prep academy. Fancied themselves. They basically lied to their opponents to tell them that they were qualified to play them. They were not qualified to play them. And, you know, those kids could get hurt. But the bottom line is Bishop Sycamore's new coach says, by the way, they got a new coach, by the way. So they're on their way back. They're on their way back. Says, quote, "We do not offer curriculum. We are not a school." I just love this. Like, so what are you? My question is, what are you? So what do you do with these kids? I mean, are you a Boy Scout troop? I don't know what you qualify as then. At some point, what are you participating in?
I think there's a lot of schools that probably could say the same thing with it. It's like, we've got a really good football program, but, you know, we're not really a school.
Fill in the blank on whatever high school you want to, like that you don't like. Yeah. Man, those Maple Mountain guys, they have the same thing.
You said it. I didn't. I did not say. I'm not naming names.
See, I don't know all these high schools. I didn't grow up here. What is Springville High School?
How about Spanish Fork?
Now, with Spanish Fork, like, I'll make fun of Spanish Fork all day.
Your wife went
My wife went there, but you know what? She doesn't. She pretends like she wants to forget that entire portion of her life.
And I don't blame her. If I went to Spanish Fork High School, I would too.
Spanish Fork High School. We have no curriculum. We are just a
school.
We're basically have a turkey bowl, and you can come participate in it. I don't know what it is that they do then. So, next up on the 2-minute drill, 6 SEC teams are ranked after week one, Scott. Now, that's even after, you know, you look at – everybody knew that I had – Miami having a shot against Alabama, I knew it was not even going to be close.
Of
and
course.
It wasn't close.
No.
But you think about all these teams, the week eight, the week two AP poll, Alabama, Georgia. Hey, by the way, did you see the Utes went up a couple spots there?
Yes, they did.
That's good.
In every poll.
And BYU is now receiving votes.
Yes.
So they'd technically be ranked number 31 in the country.
So
Scott.
It's one of those. So you say there's a chance.
So you're telling me there's a chance. So you have Alabama, Georgia. Those are your two SEC teams, number one and number two. Mm-hmm. Texas A&M. Oklahoma, by the way, not an SEC team, but almost one.
Yes.
So they would have had four out of the top five.
They're like a SEC light right
they
now.
They would have had four out of the five if it was the SEC in a couple of years. Clemson, of course, I don't think they're even going to be ranked number six after a couple of weeks here the way they played. Cincinnati, future BYU, rival. I guess we could say the Big 12, number 7. Notre Dame, number 8.
Iowa State will be out.
Iowa State, number 9. Iowa, number 10. Iowa, actually impressive. Penn State, didn't care what I saw over the weekend from Penn State or Wisconsin, but there you go.
Oregon's
Florida.
12.
Here's your. So Oregon's 12. USC's 14. Florida's stuck between them at 13. So you've got Texas, UCLA. By the way, did you see UCLA jumped way into the rankings after that went over LSU?
They jumped from outer space into the ratings.
They were number 16 now. So, and then you've got Coastal Carolina at 17. That's the only, other group of five.
But
team
you look at this right now. If you're a Utah fan, Utah's at 21. Right now, they're going to play USC, who's ranked, UCLA, that's ranked,
Oregon, that's ranked,
Arizona State, that's
right.
ranked. I mean, they went from having this is kind of an average schedule to it could be a tough schedule. And you beat those teams, and then you could have a pretty good season. Just saying.
Scott, who is the most overrated going into week one now that we know how week one actually turned out?
You know who I think was?
Who is it?
I'm going to say Clemson.
Your guy, Dabo Swinney?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that the downward spiral hasn't even begun. I think that Clemson is not Alabama. They will not be the dynasty that everybody thinks.
I think Notre Dame's another one, too.
Oh, Notre Dame can absolutely. I mean, they almost lost to Florida State, and I was praying so hard. I was fasting that, like Devin Kafusi, man, trying to get Florida State to win that game against Notre Dame. What a cool story, though, to see UCF's old quarterback who hadn't played in 1,000 days go in because the quarterback had lost his helmet. The other quarterback lost his helmet, had to come off for a play. Imagine losing your starting gig because you come off for one play because of your helmet, and they go, we're going to keep this kid in. And I bet you he's going to be the starter now because the other kid had to come off the field because his helmet came off during one play. That's how he lost his starting gig.
It's not his fault his helmet came off.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, they're all, stay right here close with me. You know how coaches are. They're all, no, you stay right here close with me.
Yeah.
And don't go in yet. Don't go in yet. No.
That's like the kiss of death.
Stay right here.
It's like, stay right here.
Stay right here.
I'm going to get you in the game soon.
Stay right here close to me. No, don't run in yet. Don't. Yeah. Stop.
Yeah. Well, the game's over now. Should I still stay by? Yeah, stay by me all the way into the shower. You know, just.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, so there it is. Utah. Into the top 25 now. But you look at your Pac-12 teams.
Yeah.
Utah, Arizona State, UCLA now, USC. Oregon. So that's five, right? That's five of the Pac-12, yeah. Man. That's really good. Good for
all,
you guys.
All of them but one is in the South.
Must be nice. Must be nice to be one of those guys.
I'm just
guys
telling
in
you, Alex, it's
conference.
it's the conference right. of champions right there.
Scott, did you have fun tonight?
I had
you
a good wonderful time.
Are you going to be safe driving the General RV home tonight?
We'll keep it slow in the right lane,
there
about 65.
All right. If you see Scott on the freeway there and you see him riding by with the Tour de Fans logos and stuff on there, give him a honk. Give him a wave. He loves to greet fans on the road. So we're going to be back again. So here's the rest of our week. Tomorrow, we're going to be at Station Park at the Bucked Up store. You're going to be there with us hanging out. We've got the RV out. We're going to be giving away some more stuff tomorrow. And we are just going to have a great time the rest of the week. Via 312, the pizzeria down in Orem. Also, we've got the Macy's that we're going to be at for the tailgate. And then at BYU at the Marriott Center on Friday to round things out. That's how our Tour de Fans starts. And it starts with a bang. So for Rivalry Week, it's going to be a good one.
Got Jaren Hall tomorrow night.
Jaren Hall tomorrow night, Players Club. You can get his insights on that game starting right at 7 o'clock. So we will be right here with you. For Scott Mitchell, I'm Alex Keery. Thank you very much to Dallin for hooking us up tonight on site here. Jeremy, our producer, taking care of things back at the station, as well as Alex Brown hitting all the buttons in Salt Lake City as well. For Scott, I'm Alex. We'll see you next time, everybody.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.